from a 5-word contest we all hear regularly here in November, several times here. It's called The Pebble in the Shoe, and it's written from the point of view of the pebble is actually the boy. The big toe looked purple red at the front, I thought. A spectacle in its own right. I put it down to the hole in the sole, the route I took when I jumped in from the street. I held my post under the arch, just as pressure from the way he walked leaned on me. An annoying pebble in his right shoe. For devilment, I imagined him to be the Roman lion of the slave Androcles. And as he hurried past old Father Door, who was just looking up at the church spire, I pricked him again a little harder. The spontaneous start of pain worked. He pulled up on the spot and set me free. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. If we could try and keep it to one poem per person, that way everyone won't get to say something. Thank you. Next up, could we have Peggy Tunick?
This is a poem that's sort of in the works, so I'm kind of awkward, that's why. It's called The Swan, and it's about, sort of think about the, well, I mean, at the time, but the story of the ugly duckling and the swan. I think she leans in a way that no one sees her leaning. A smile crooked and shy breaks out of the donkey of her life, like a meteor across the dark night. Christmas morning like you remember it. She tries to hide her sorrow bagged up and set on the curb, but it's not true. She's a happy girl playing a sad story, a part she never auditioned for. She's over, someone tell her. The part's yours to keep, now, or throw away. Walk away, you want to whisper. But up comes as far, she'll say. Seems like a waste to let go now. Let go now, you want to whisper. The way is further, and there's no one going to know. To walk with weight because you've always walked with weight. It's like crawling because you didn't know you could stand. Let go, my friend, I want to whisper. The sun is up, they've all gone on but you.
Please up, could we welcome for the first time, Margaret Mary.
I'd like to thank you for welcoming me. And I'd like to start the poem with the last two lines about me. Seeing a line on stone is quite dramatic, and these two lines appeared on the stone for me. For your warmth lingers on like the sun's rays, adding beauty to each and every new mile. My love for you is eternal, I breathe for the caress of your smile. And I'll just read it for someone I love very much, my distant gone. As I sit here alone, daylight fading, thoughts of you engulfing my body and mind, each one painting a colourful picture of a true love needing no chains which to bind. I cannot pretend not to hurt when we both have to leave and must part. For each time we lovingly come together, you take just a piece of my heart. If moments like this we could capture, wrap up in a blanket and fold, your warmth next to mine that unravels, to eternally cherish and hold. Each thought of you bursts with a beauty, a priceless gift so precious and rare, reaching far beyond the elements the human mind can possibly care. We can sit in conversation for hours, in tune together locked in time, in which we capture a closeness, our hearts share in magical rhyme. Our bodies flow together in love and feeling, to all that we do think and say. I melt to the touch and the promise of a love for another day. For your warmth lingers on like the sun's rays, adding beauty to each and every new mile. My love for you is eternal, I breathe for the caress.
Thank you, Margaret. Next could we please have Igor?
Silence. Silence when I speak. Please. It is you. It is. I've seen you before. My nightmare, my dream, I thought, came true. Silence, please. Silence. It is you.
Thank you. Next up we have Shia et al.
Well, this is a roast after the evening in Dingus, poetry evening in Dingus. As bell ringers led, like flock of sheep we followed. Welcomed by Clarice Velvet, stage aflame with native tongue, a glimpse through the keyhole of the bardic past. Cat flirts and flaunts with relish, her back arches when Danny showed her he could. Seated in laid-back atmosphere as we switch drinks. As we did strength, the evening was ours for a given.
Get it, Thomas. Thank you, Sheila. Next, could we have John Bratton?
Funny things have happened to me on my way from home to here. I met the talking kangaroo. Hopping along was out of care. He asked me for directions, if I might be so kind, as to how to get to Fulton, and he thought I did not mind. Well, Mr. Kangaroo, to him I said, I just trying to be polite. When that traffic light goes from green to red, go straight through, and you'll be right. Cross the bridge and turn the corner, and then towards the east to road. It will bring you to Kent Station, where you'll get the train, of course. He said thanks to me most graciously, before hopping on his way, and asked if I would go for a drink, if I had time to stay. I thanked him most profoundly, and said that much as I would like, I must head for the Long Valley and tell the tale in rhyme on old.
Us of the kangaroos, yeah? Okay. Next up, can we have Rosalind Liu?
Thank you very much. I'm in a dilemma. We have one poem. Now, I have one poem that I wrote along another woman's poem, which was published about a century ago, and this poem was written in German, and so is mine, and both of them are translated, and I'm going to present the translation. Now, what poem do I present? I would like to read that lady's poem in translation, at least. Both versions here, they're all in German, the original book in German. The poem, the poet is Else Lasker Schüler, and she published this poem in 1904. And it is written at a time when there was big change, like nowadays. Big new technologies coming in, so people were in the mode of change, and she realized, the dying part of the change rather than the renewing part. And when I transferred that poem into the now, that after the change, a little bit of anger. So I'll read the translation. First, the translation is by a guy called Jerry Backlund. The end of the world. There is a weeping in the world, as if the dear God were dead, and the laden shadows that fall weigh heavily as the grave. Come, we will hide ourselves together, live life in all hearts. No. Come, we will hide ourselves together, life lives in all hearts, as in coffins. You, we will kiss deeply, there is a yearning beating in the world by which we must die. I really cherish the German version of it. Anyway, my own poem that I wrote about this poem, or that I wrote a long poem bringing it into the now, is called, the translation of it is called Upraised. There is a waiting in the world as if the earth would never die, and we plumply doze in front, weighing heavy as a grave, watching spurgling, wasting dumb. Come, we want to live again, foot on the earth, spirit in the blue, and the heart in the left place. You, let us arise and do, so for our frantic waiting, our children won't die too.
Thank you, Sue. Next up, do we have Seamus Harrison?
This was a couple of years ago on Finning Station. Reach. I swing clear of the saddle. He's left-handed. We draw together, squeeze the triggers, nothing. My eye is caught by the cactus, sulking behind the window pane. We crouch a yard apart, but he never sees my face. His caskin knuckles shake at the sudden surge of power. I feel the nozzle kick to my bike and let it stream. The diesel digits spin by his silver bullet bend. We pump a yard apart, but I never see his face. Thank you.
Next, we have Patricia Walsh.
The hush, somewhat temperamental, sleepy cruising by the back bar. A wild card played in most situations, a wanton, woebegone, wandering stare. She walks among devils at a frightening pace, and grimaces with pleasure for no reason. Grows more butch than each passing season that falls upon her charming face. All this is to get her away from the confusion. I take her hand, but fails to lead her down a more convenient path to fusion, with conventional looks before she comes deep. Dancing eventually with her own kind, she finally achieves a state of mind. Thank you.
Patricia, next up we have Eamon Prendergast.
Called the Sea, I wrote it for my mother. I wasn't allowed to say it at my mother's funeral 8 months ago because the priest asked, did it mention God? And I said no, and he said, we won't have it, so. I wrote a poem about God since, but I don't think, I think God eternally grieved me, Harris. But, okay, so I'll do this one. Okay. Called the Sea. The gentle rolling waves ebb in to wash away this lap of time and feed this desert sand with wine. Is it inward flowing or outward going? Did it start by moving in or did it never just begin? Falling down with all its might, raising up a holy white, thundering in against the shore, trickling down and back for more. And in this silent, darkened night, its thundering sound, its lightning white, tells me more about this light. Here I stand, concealed, confined, trapped by passing time within my mind. Will never wash away a night, will never wash away a day. Still it's washing day and night, the waters that come and flow away. I stand, I wash my hands in this light. I feel the reason for castles made of sand. There is no reason for castles made by man.
Next up, do we have Sarah Buckley?
I had a conversation with my friend during the week about the GCC that she's comically jaded by, you know. She reckoned that I had 6 years in UCC, she had four, so that's a decade between us. It's like, nothing was to write her. So when I rang her, I told her I was going out with a guy from our class. She wasn't very excited. She didn't say, oh, what are you going to wear, or whatever her response was. Have those waters not been fished? I thought she had a point. I thought it was funny, so I put it in the post. It's called fished out water. it's not that these aren't fresh waters propagating men of numerous species to fit surrounding. It's not that they can't be caught like the keeper of a mill. I understand the whipping of the wind here through the waters here and the direction it carries. I could loop the nightclub that, like tall coral reeds, hide an abundance of prospects in their shadows. I know that come late summer, these waters will swarm anew with new boys returned from cross-Atlantic adventure to study at schools here. But I've balanced on this rocky shore before launching the net, catching. There's been ones that flipped and hopped until freed or lay so still I wondered. There's been filthy skin slender and octopus hands, been razor sharp teeth and empty shells. I tossed each cast back and cast again and again to waters that no longer feel plenty. Perhaps the stock won't replenish or my quota here is met, but with the tug there's no work of excitement. And maybe it's time to drift on up north to some new looking lake or stretch water, a species unknown to currents and thirst, and try my exploits in some unsalted water.
Thank you, Sarah. Next up, we have Ed O'Dwyer. This happened at the Munster Slam Championship. He was last on the list, and he was missing. You're right, yeah? Yeah, he was having a pint, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, Edward.
Thanks for showing up.
Otherwise known as the 8-line writer. this one's called Ali. You could imagine the things I have seen and heard, but then it isn't something I'd recommend. There are the things you read about in the newspapers, and overhear old ladies discussing on the bus. Things people's nightmares remind them are waiting, coiled in the dark, ready to leap out. There are the things that get drawn up into statistics, put pepper spray into purses, and drive parents towards madness with words. I've witnessed so much fear and pain and a blood spill. that vanished just as quick into these dank, putrefying walls. One time, I even witnessed a 16-year-old girl get raped, and she just wept, too frightened to scream or to struggle as he, stinking of booze, had his rotten way. That was 2 years ago now, and though he's passed through here many times, I haven't seen her since. It's a very heavy poem,
I know you wanted more of Ed, but we have some...
You didn't, Paul, you didn't.
Later, Ed, later. Next up, can we have Dora Hardy?
Give all is well, and only ever true, and when it sounds, the bell will ring true for you.
Thank you, Dawn. Next up is Alan Cody.
My band is doing on Thursday. It's in Barcode, which is formerly the Swan, and it's behind the Savoy. And it'd be a good gig. It's a good rave from Kintyre, so yeah, I recommend it. It's good. So this is a poem about the Western civilization sickness. It's called Winner Sinner. Win, win, winning's the thing, don't care if you spin. In this competitive society, money talks louder than girls blown to bits by car bombs in Baghdad. Win, win, winning's the thing, don't care if you spin. To win what, then? Don't care what you win. Don't care if you spin. To win is the thing. The girl is in a coma. Her brain is gone. Her dad lives on. While back here we play war games for fun. But is it just me? Or is the fun disappearing when the kids start to fear him? Win, win, winning's the thing, don't care if you sin. The girl is dead. Her dad turns away, her face deeper than display. But it distresses me as well to see the parents of the West look on their child's best with distress. Mother.
Thank you, Evan. Next up we have Rachel.
Hello. This is a poem about how I hate the sound of other people chewing gum. Chewing, stewing, anger stewing, rising, raging, hating every single time, disguising when you fail at realizing that your violence is massaging, charging out of peaceful silence is the bane of my existence, and expounding my resistance to your squelching, squashing noises gives me two possible choices. I can sit and fume, immersed in gloom, praying for death or descending doom of a plague of pestilence, lice or blood, and my ears to be blocked with Glastonbury mudders, grinding my teeth as you burn the tomb makes me need to kill myself and you. Or I can broach the subject, feigning ease and skill, and calmly explain that it makes me ill, that I'd rather have spiders lay eggs in my arse than play any part in this filtered and fast that you're grinding your teeth with your greediness, guiding you, mashing your mouth with your merciless munching, your god-awful gulping, your bustling, biting, your driving me crazy with your chewing gum pouts, and I'm going to be sick unless you fucking spit it out. Thank you.
Chewing gum on the premises, please. Next up, can we have Mary O'Connell?
Well, we've had financial collapse, we've had flooding, and
Jerry
2012 is all going to end. They say. So I wrote this 10 years ago, well no, not 10 years ago, 8 years ago. So anyway, it's called Tarot Reading. The cards said I would lose you, but refused to tell me when. Swords rained, three and three again, tearing aside the veil that screams what yet might be. Pick three cards. I close my eyes, feel the fan, peacock's tail. Death card stark among the serried swords. Does this mean the man I love is going to die? Quite suddenly is the reply. Ticking clock, sound of cars. Second card. The knave, wild, unforeseen, a prancing fool, pushing to the edge. Third card, sun, breaking through, transcending time. Comfort falls away, remembering the Mayan text. Total darkness, 10 years hence, fall of the fifth sun.
Thank you, Mary. Next up, could we have Joe Sweeney?
Hey, great.
Thank you. Hello, Limerick, you are beautiful. Nice, my audience. No, it's a letter from Maisie Gonald. She's a teacher and she writes these letters to her principal. Whether they're ever delivered, I haven't decided yet. Dear principal. Dear principal, 1045, I am with 2W now. The class is strangely quiet. It's quite eerie. Not to say unexpected. There must be something up. You could hear a pin drop. 1048. A penny has dropped. Bad news, I'm afraid. The class are all asleep. In fact, it's worse than that. They look like they're in some kind of coma. 1049. What's that smell? 1051. I wonder if it might... It smells like gas. No, it couldn't. Wait a minute. I remember hearing old Mr. Burns, the science teacher, threatening to use gas to subdue certain classes so as to make them more cooperative. A gas that would numb them for a few hours. Well, they have just come from a class in Lab 2, and I sort of got a funny smell as I was walking down the corridor past Lab 2. Unless, Principal, you've been smoking again. I'd watch that if I were you. Smoking can damage our health, not that you have much health left to damage. At 10:54, no, it's not your smoking, I know now. I have approached some of the children. They are not moving. They are crouched over their books, some of them with firewood in their hands, for all the world like they were working away. I just knew there was something unnatural about that. 2W never work. It's a matter of principle with them. 10:56. I've prodded a few individuals with my ruler, but there is no response. I grabbed Tommy Roach by the hair and rocked him back and forth, no response. So that is not unusual in his case. Tommy is usually stoned out of his head. But when I drew my hand in front of his face, there was no response. No, they've been gassed all right. I think this is going to be a quiet class. 11:23. This is marvelous. I read right through Hello magazine, The Times, and Marie Claire. I now see what a nice job teaching could be if only there were no pupils around. I wonder what that gas is. I must ask Mr. Burns, that man is a genius. 12 o'clock, I'm just leaving 2W now. A very successful class. Still not a whisper. Excellent. First rate. Your relaxed